crazy porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatty-dee-bop, shabadooey. You'll revel in hilarity. It's pork therapy.
Hello.
Hello.
Ooh, that was very...
Wasn't
I'm jealous.
This time?
I'm jealous of your nice voice, Mike.
Oh, you don't have to be. You have a fantastic voice yourself, Stephanie.
I don't care. I'm so jealous.
Well, would you like me to speak in this voice instead?
Yes.
That's
just
better.
To make it sound worse, so I won't be jealous.
Your ears are bleeding, but you're not jealous?
I am totally kidding, Mike. I want everybody else to have the happiest voice and the most lovely voice they possibly can, and to be happy about their own voice and proud of what they say. Right?
Yes, and that was a great segue into our show, but now I also have to segue back and say, I'm proud of being Pork Therapy.
Oh, yes, me too. I'm proud to do the show with you, Mike.
And you, Stephanie.
And this is a big turning into a big love fest. Anyway, yes, as you said, I'm Stephanie and you're Mike,
yep,
right?
And we are Pork Therapy, which is...
It's a show about voluntary relationships. We talk about relationships from a voluntarist perspective, and we talk about how to apply the principles of voluntarism to your personal life.
Yeah.
And you can find us on the web at porctherapy.com. That's porktherapy.com. That's our website where you can hear all of our past shows.
Rate them, comment on them, email, call, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And participate in our show.
Yes, yeah. Please do. Please.
So actually, we have a little bit of listener feedback today and also a question. And as I alluded to before with my little temper tantrum, these, both the feedback and the question that we have today, relate to jealousy, right? And to, I guess, non-monogamous relationships.
Yes, they relate.
Yeah, yeah. So what do we mean when we say non-monogamous relationships?
Well, monogamous relationship, everyone knows what that means, and that means one person commits to be romantic and intimate with one other person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a monogamous relationship.
And
non-monogamous is any other kind, any other arrangement.
Right, exactly. And so I think the umbrella of non-monogamous relationships encompasses everything from people who basically are just promiscuous and sleep around without telling any of their partners anything, really, to people who have partnered non-monogamy, where maybe they have one kind of primary partner, maybe a domestic partner or a spouse, but will also engage in other sexual and or romantic things with other people.
To agreed upon triads or quads, threes or four people, mm-hmm, agreeing to all love each other.
Mm-hmm.
To
multiple loving relationships at once and any different combination of all those. So I guess non-monogamy is a fairly big umbrella compared to monogamy, but it does basically go outside of the social cultural norms in American culture,
right,
that say that basically monogamy is good and non-monogamy is bad, although a lot of people engage in non-monogamy in kind of a secretive way.
Hurtful, harmful way.
Harmful, hurtful way, right, and are not open about it. And I think on this show, I don't want to say that we're for monogamy or for polyamory or anything like that. I think for myself, I'd like to just say that I'm for openness and honesty. And so whether that means someone chooses to have a monogamous relationship where they're open and honest with their partner, or someone chooses to have multiple partners, as long as they're truthful and open and they're forming connections with their other partners or lovers or whatever. And
not lying or cheating or forceful.
Mm-hmm. Basically not committing fraud, which is a violation of the non-aggression principle that we're very interested in as voluntarists. You can apply the non-aggression principle to relationships. And then, of course, the non-aggression principle says it's immoral to initiate force or fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be taken a number of different nuanced ways, but I would say that if you're initiating force in a relationship, then you're hitting, ignoring, yelling, manipulating, coercing, maybe even rape or something like that.
Right.
That's bad. That's a violation of the non-aggression principle. But I also think that fraud, which is lying.
Yep.
Right? Lying, not keeping agreements.
That's a version of force.
That's a version of force, which is also a violation of the non-aggression principle. So I think that we can apply that to relationships. And that's why I say that as a voluntarist, as someone who believes in liberty, I am interested in following the non-aggression principle within my own relationships. And that's why I say that I'm for honesty and openness in every circumstance. What do you think about that, Mike?
I agree. That was pretty wordy, but I agree.
Oh, it was really wordy. I'll try to cut it down.
No, don't. It's just that I agree. Basically, as long as for me, as long as everyone consents, as long as it's voluntary, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if two people want to commit to each other until death do their part in the afterlife or whatever, great. They both voluntarily did it. They're probably going to be happy. Or well, it's they
not
think
gonna,
they are.
It's not going to work if they try to commit for the afterlife because it doesn't exist.
You know, if five guys and a girl and a monkey all voluntary. No, I'm just kidding. Monkeys can't consent. But if, you know, any arrangement of people voluntarily say, yes, I know you're going to have sex with those two people and I know you're going to spend 8 hours a week with that person and you're also going to come home to me. They all know about it and they all agree. It's all voluntary. It's all good to me.
Sure.
If I don't want that for my life, I won't do it.
Right.
But that the fact that it's voluntary and no one's being hurt works for me.
Yep. I agree. So anyway, and I think just one last thing to add to that. I think that probably not all people do well with modeling their relationships after a traditional monogamous heterosexual marriage. I mean, of course, people who are not heterosexual don't do well with that, right? Because
right.
they want same-sex partners. But I don't think everyone really fits into that mold of I'm looking for one partner to be with for a very long time. Some people are just looking for people, partners that they want to have maybe short term. Some people don't know what they're looking for right away.
Yeah, some people want long term and change, mm-hmm. and then they don't want that person anymore.
Mm-hmm. Some people are looking to have children, some people not.
Everybody changes, by the way. Just they might change in such a significant way that they don't want to be with that person.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I agree with you. I think most people, my guess is that most people aren't monogamous in nature.
Mm-hmm.
They just are by cultural mores.
Well, even the people who probably haven't thought about it very much and would identify as monogamous by default. I think that even a lot of those people, they've had more than one partner throughout their life. They just haven't overlapped with each other. Or maybe some of them have, and maybe they felt really guilty about that. Maybe they were in love with two people at once and they felt bad about it or thought that it was wrong.
Or didn't act on it, right? Or maybe they did and they cheated.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they were in love with someone and then they fell out of love with that person and loved someone else.
Yep.
Are they still monogamous? I mean, they've loved two people.
Right,
You know, blurry. What about, this isn't romantic love, this is a different kind of love, but what about parents who have, you know, four or five children?
Or
even two children? Yeah.
They can only love one at a time?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Or children with, what if you're an only child? Do you only love one of your parents? Do you have to love one and then switch to the other?
Right. Right.
I'm not saying you have to love your parents, by the way, but it's pretty common.
Yes. Well, I think that's a way that we can put it that many people will understand.
Yeah.
So I'm of the opinion that love is infinite. And I would probably add to that time is finite. And I know that that's a phrase that I've heard before, and I don't know where it comes from. But
it's finite?
Yeah, love is infinite, but time is finite.
That might be from the book.
The Ethical Slut.
Yeah, it might be.
Maybe.
I would also just like to say that you're about to explain yourself, but I want to insert a joke that it's not as hippy-dippy as it sounds. Love is infinite. So what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is that love isn't a zero-sum game. It's not as if you have a certain amount of love.
And if you love two people, then each gets half as much.
Exactly.
No.
Love is infinite in that sense, in that you can love more than one person as deeply as you could love one person.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that I like to add to that time is finite, you know,
that's a given.
Maybe I know 5 or 10 people in my life who I really admire and really like and really think would be awesome partners and think are sexy and attractive and great in every way. I don't think that many people, and certainly I don't, have time to date 10 people.
Right. I mean, so, you wouldn't have much time to spend with each, and each might think, well, she's not spending a lot of time with me. This isn't working.
This isn't meeting my needs. Right. Exactly.
I'd also like to just phrase that in terms of friends, because just about every one of our listeners or everyone out there who's never even thought of this could relate to friends.
Mm-hmm.
How many friends do you have? How many really good friends do you have? Not lovers and sex, just friends. Well, mm-hmm. you can't hang out with all of them all the time.
Yep.
You have to choose which friend you hang out with, how much with each friend, what you do with each friend, because time is finite.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing, just on a slightly different level mm-hmm. of liking.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can look back on the parts of their lives and say, oh, I've definitely had two best friends at once. These two people were my best friends.
Or, yeah. Or even if they weren't comparably best friends. Mm-hmm. I've had a best friend and six really good friends or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You still have to, time is finite.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, okay, yeah, I think that's a good introduction to this show. Should we get into our listener feedback and then we'll hit our question about jealousy?
So, the listener feedback, which I'll read kind of quickly, is about a couple previous shows, namely after our episode 132, which is entitled Why Do People Cheat? Antonia commented about, and she basically said, I haven't listened to this episode, but the topic reminds me of a book I want to recommend, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, and she continued.
And we read her comment on one of our shows.
So now we commented and said, so if you do listen to the show, I want to hear your comments.
Mm-hmm.
So she did, and she says, hello, I'm the Sex at Dawn post gal. I just to clarify a few things, I'm not spam. I have listened to the show, and I agree that insecurity, fear, and religious guilt, which may have led to a premature commitment, lead to cheating. Lack of communication, definitely. A thought proposed from this book is, why is it necessarily more moral to divorce, especially with kids, turn their lives upside down, etc., if one or both partners want to sleep with someone else? What if partner A is sick and can't be sexual anymore? If partner B gets their sexual needs met with someone extramaritally and continues to be a life partner caretaker, is that automatically immoral? This concept is also from Savage Love. Anyway, comment?
Is that immoral? Not necessarily, and here's why. Because I'm thinking of the non-aggression principle as it applies to relationships.
Right.
Yeah, does the other partner know? Are you lying to the other partner?
And did they agree?
And did they agree?
Yeah,
exactly.
If you've made a commitment to be monogamous, and then they become non-sexual for some reason, I doubt it was prearranged for that condition.
Well, some people do have that kind of clause in their relationship contract. Like, even if I'm sick, you know, it's in the traditional monogamous marriage vows.
No.
Like through sickness and in health.
Yes, but that's incredibly vague.
Yeah.
What if she's not sick? What if she got hit by a car and paralyzed?
Oh, sure. I think most people don't work out relationship contracts like that. I think they just kind of
assume,
take it as it goes and assume that they'll cross that bridge when they come to it. Although I don't think it's a bad idea to be more explicit about your agreements.
I don't either. Although, boy, to cover every possibility would be a pretty long ceremony.
Oh, sure.
But your point is that if it's voluntary and the can't be sexual anymore partner and the partner who needs their sexual needs met elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
both talk about it and say, we can't have sex anymore, but I need to still have sex.
Yeah.
But I still love you, and I want to be with you, and I want to raise the kids, whatever. And they both agree. That's not really immoral, is it? That's what your point is.
No, I don't think so. But, of course, everyone would have to truly... for instance, we talked about Ayn Rand's open relationship in one of our previous episodes.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the discussion that we had was centered around the idea that, for background, Ayn Rand had a husband, Frank, and a lover, Nathaniel, and Nathaniel was also married to another woman, Barbara. And it was kind of implicit, or there was some evidence that Frank and Barbara didn't completely consent to the arrangement between Ayn Rand and Nathaniel Brandon, who was her lover.
Mm.
So a lot of the discussion that we had about this relationship centered around that. And I think that there are instances where people consent to a situation that's non-monogamous, even though they want monogamy because they feel pressured or coerced or manipulated or misled or whatever. No, I don't want any of that. I want any agreement to be completely voluntary and open. Yeah.
So, Antonia continues. Anyway, thanks for reading my post. I feel almost famous. Haha. That's pretty cute. Basically, and then she commented.
You are famous.
Yeah, you are now. And then she continued in comments. I'm not sure if that's because she thought of them later or because somehow her original comment was limited to a certain length. I guess I need to look at
Facebook.
That. So she continues. Basically, I'm always questioning our society's Judeo-Christian system of morality and have found it fairly lacking in humanity. Also, the drama. Our 6-year-old coming home visibly upset that her friend's boyfriend is cheating. I have no idea what this means to first graders. I'm not sure she does either. Wow. But this whole pop culture meme, just ugh.
Yeah, I agree. Ugh.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would really hope that you're talking to her and asking her, well, what do you mean cheating?
Yeah.
And what do you mean boyfriend?
Yeah.
And yeah. and hopefully you're clarifying at least what, I don't know. Hopefully you're instilling some ideas into her teaching her what you think a boyfriend is and cheating is. And so she knows what the words are meaning.
Oh, yeah.
And understands that what she heard on MTV or whatever isn't really
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And then Antonia continues, sorry for the abundance of comments, but just one more thing. I think it's tragic in a way how much guilt people feel who don't fit into our idealized, Christianized version of human sexuality.
Mm.
How many people feel defective because they don't want monogamy, especially women?
Huh.
Not to mention homosexuality.
Yeah.
I just think if we had a more realistic and humanistic view of our sexuality, it would make for a healthier, less angsty and guilt-ridden society. Like the French. Smiley.
Now, I don't know if the French have it all right.
But they do show boobs on TV, so... No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's a plus one. Yeah, well, but I certainly agree that if we had a more humanistic and realistic view of sexuality, I'm not part of that.
It's culture in general.
Yeah, had a more humanistic and realistic view of sexuality, it definitely would make for healthier, happier people.
Yeah.
And that's basically what we talked about in our last episode.
Yes, actually.
Which you can go to at porktherapy.com, porktherapy.com.
I believe that was episode 139. Mm-hmm. So,
and this is 140?
Yep.
140, wow.
Yeah. High five.
Woo.
Okay, thank you for the re-comment. Thanks for listening to the show, too, Antonia.
Yeah.
I hope you keep listening.
Yeah, we do. We appreciate that.
And keep commenting. And keep sharing this with other people.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so we do have a question tonight, and this is kind of along these same lines. And let me get the question up. Okay, so our question asker says, I'd like to talk about open relationships. My question is not so much for me. I get it. My problem is with my girlfriend. I don't know how to answer some of her questions, mostly about jealousy and such, because I don't have it. I'm just not that guy. So if you have a link or two that I could pass along, that would be great. Thanks again for everything.
Okay. So he wants to talk about open relationships. So
mm-hmm.
that the term is pretty vague. It could
yeah.
be interpreted a lot of ways. But what generally would open relationship mean?
I think an open relationship, as most people define it, and this is certainly based on people's personal tweakings of that, whatever... Based on people's personal definitions. But I think an open relationship is a relationship in which it's a romantic relationship with one person where there's all open and honest communication about attraction to other people and the possibility or the potential to be sexual or romantic with other people besides that, besides one partner.
Well, I guess I disagree with you slightly. I don't think that is the common interpretation because you included open communication and all that. I think a common definition of open relationships. Oh, and you also said one. You also started off with one person on a monogamous relationship in which there's open, but
yeah.
it could be a poly relationship in which they're open to
sure.
more.
It could be a relationship between four people. Who,
right. I think a common definition of open relationship is right. The common conception is a couple.
Yeah.
Who have sex with other people. And maybe it's voluntary and maybe... Yeah, it probably is voluntary, but mm-hmm. it's like they have sex with other people. They don't... I think the common conception is not about love and it's not about commitment long-term.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
two people who are together romantically who also have sex with others.
Although we don't know. It could be about being loving with multiple people at once. So I think maybe we should answer this question under the assumption that it is about having multiple loving relationships and that's how they define... open relationship, or at least keep that in mind.
So, if we assume that open relationship means that the question asker, whose name will be...
Al.
Whose name is Al, and his girlfriend, Betty.
Okay.
They are in a romantic relationship with each other, and one or both of them wants to sleep with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Al does, and Betty yep. is jealous.
Yes.
That's the
Betty
situation.
Betty is jealous, right. The first thing I thought of when you wrote this question to us, Al, was... Hey, you could have Betty listen to this podcast. So
yes.
we're recording this with that in mind.
Yeah.
And to someone who's jealous, Mike, what do you think the cause of jealousy is? Because I always like to strike at the root, as
yeah.
Henry David Thoreau said. He said, for everybody striking at the branches or hacking at the branches, there's one person striking at the root or something like that. And basically, what he was saying with that, I think, is that a lot of people aren't getting to the heart of the matter when they talk about issues. They're kind of dancing around the most important thing. And for me, I think striking at the root when we talk about jealousy means acknowledging what the causes of jealousy are. And as I see it, I think that jealousy is a consequence of needs that are not being met, just like all other feelings. And so we talk about nonviolent communication on this show a lot. And one of the core concepts there is that all humans have basic needs. So not just things like food, water, shelter, but also things like love, attention, affection, respect, order, efficacy, clarity, connection, to understand and be understood, and that all these kind of things. And when our needs are met, we feel good feelings. And when our needs are not met, we feel bad feelings. And so,
and by bad, you mean they don't feel good, not morally bad.
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you for clarifying.
I think it's also commonly accepted that jealousy is bad. And I don't think it is. I think it's like,
it just is.
Yeah, it just is. It's like fear or to be hurt. You don't like those things, but they just exist to make you aware of your surroundings or to stop yourself from touching the fire that's hurting you or whatever.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Jealousy is a feeling that something is wrong, so listen to it and correct what's wrong.
Absolutely, yeah. I like that analogy a lot. It exists to protect you basically from getting hurt.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's an emotional pain that I think the person who feels jealous is concerned about. And I think that often people feel jealous when they feel disconnected from a partner, when their need for connection is not being met. I think people also tend to feel jealous when their need for affection and attention are not being met as well. This is especially common in society.
Yes.
For people to have romantic partners who, for whatever reason, are not meeting their need for attention or time to spend with them or affection. And in some cases, they just have mismatched needs. You know, some people have a very strong need for affection and some people don't.
That's a possibility.
They don't want a lot of affection for whatever reason. So there might be a mismatch there. But I think when someone feels jealousy, it's very useful and important to think about what the root of that jealousy is. Do you need more affection? Do you need more attention? Do you need more love? Do you need more reassurance? Are you feeling insecure? Do you need more time with a partner? Do you need more honesty, more openness? Do you need more connection? Do you need to just hang out and really feel connected to the person, have deep conversations or whatever? I think thinking about those things will really help at least identify what the jealousy is stemming from.
And not just thinking about them, but both partners need to be talking about them.
Yes.
Because the person who is experiencing jealous can think about it. The other person can only stipulate or guess. But in either of those situations, you're not communicating with the other. There's not going to be any surety or fix coming.
Right.
So you've got to talk to each other about it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, talking about it with each other serves two purposes. One is to investigate and figure out what the root causes of these feelings are. And two is to actually meet that connection need right then and there. Because when you're having a conversation like this where there's real honesty and there's sharing and there's some vulnerability because feelings are coming out or whatever, then that helps you actually connect with your partner and feel like your need for connection is being satisfied.
If that's the problem to begin with, yes.
Yeah.
I will say that also, if the problem is that your partner is not giving you attention and affection and connection, hey, it could be a song, etc.
Why don't you make a song?
If your partner's not giving you those things and doesn't want to, then having this discussion should nail it home for you that you don't want to be with this person. Because you'll tell them, I'm feeling lonely and I need more time with you, etc. And they say, well, you know, it is what it is. You got to live with it.
Yeah.
Well, if that's all they're going to give you, then you probably want to end the relationship.
Right. Well, what that says to me is that your needs, one person has a strong need for lots of time and affection and connection and all that good stuff.
And the other
doesn't have quite as strong of at least some of those needs. And so maybe there's a mismatch there, and maybe you do want to spend the time to meet those needs for your partner, or maybe you don't want to do that. Mismatched.
I agree that that is a possibility and maybe even a probability, but it's also distinctly possible that Al in this case, just doesn't really care about his partner anymore and is bad at communicating and is trying to make her end it with him. So he's cheating or lying or sleeping around or not caring much for her or whatever.
So some people do that.
Yeah.
I don't really know their situation, but
true.
I mean,
I'm not saying that's maybe, what it is. It's just another possibility.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, some people do feel jealousy because they're picking up on something that one person doesn't want to say.
Right.
You know, it's really often in this culture, I think, that people have trouble ending relationships because they fear.
Talk about this.
Yeah. We talk about this all the time because they fear negative consequences from the person who's being dumped.
Mm-hmm.
They fear that the person's going to yell. The person's going to become upset. They're going to cry. They're going to say mean things. They're going to not be friends anymore.
Or, yeah.
You know, all of those things. And so they try to get the other person to break up with them so they won't have to do the dumping. And the pronouns on that were a little unclear, but I think you all know what I'm saying. So, you know, some people feel jealous when they pick up on that, when they pick up on, hey, I'm just not really feeling this.
Yeah.
You know, or at least I'm not wanting the same things out of this relationship that you're wanting. There's a mismatch there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the key to solving this question or to answering this question is to talk about it. Absolutely. Just like everything else in life, talk about it, be real honest about it, and really do some introspection and try to figure out, where's that jealousy stemming from? You know, what's triggering it?
And what can be done about it?
And what can be done about it?
Do you want to? Yeah.
And do you want to do those things? Yeah. I think that's
I want to address the need not being met causing jealousy
mm-hmm.
from a slightly different angle
sure.
or perspective.
Sure.
And that is, in what if Al is exceptionally communicative, loving,
mm-hmm.
caring, attentive, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
to Betty, but also loves. Charlene.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Betty might be jealous, right? She's not, her need for attentiveness isn't being unmet. Her need for love isn't being, et cetera. Oh, none of those are being met, but she might still be jealous. A different need might be met, might be not met. And that might be, for example, security. She might think that love is finite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that if Al loves Charlene, then he's loving two people and he can only love each person half as much as normal.
Mm-hmm. So,
or she might just be fearing that if he loves someone else, she'll only have half as much time with him and that won't be enough.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be the case, but she's fearing it.
Right, right. So
it's just another need not being met. Then there's probably others and other types of scenarios that could happen.
Yeah, and I think one way to meet those needs or at least allay the fear would be for them to talk about it.
Yes, absolutely.
Course.
The solution's the same.
Yeah.
Talk about it and say, this is what I'm scared of, and I don't want this to happen.
Yeah.
And how can we both continue to be happy and avoid this situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so whenever people ask me for recommendations about books on polyamory or open relationships, there are two books that I like to recommend. One of them we already discussed is The Ethical Slut by Dossie Easton and Janet Hardy. It has a lot of not just practical information, but kind of philosophical type information in there about the nature of love and the nature of love not being finite or confined to
mm-hmm.
one person, and maybe the style of monogamy not fitting best with everybody's needs and what they're looking for out of their love life or their romantic life. And the other book is Opening Up by Tristan Taramino. And it's basically more of a book that it has a little bit of the philosophical stuff in there, but it's interviews of different people. And those people have open relationships of all different types. I mean, everyone from, you know, we're essentially monogamous to we live in a triad to we're swingers to, mm-hmm. you know, all of those different things. And basically what they do is they talk about logistics of how they manage their relationships and how they arrived at the conclusion that they want their relationship to be in the style that it is and how they maybe agreements between some people are in there too. So I guess that's a good book to read if you're looking for kind of logistical stuff.
What wasn't there a chapter or a section in The Ethical Slut specifically about jealousy, or am I remembering that
yes,
incorrectly?
Yes, there is a chapter about jealousy in The Ethical Slut, but I think the whole thing is worth
yes,
a read.
It's a great book.
It's if nothing else, it's very interesting, and it may open your mind. Even if you decide that you want a monogamous relationship and that's what you're most interested in, it's worth a read for sure because it'll probably cause you to think about some things in new ways that you haven't thought about them before in terms of love and relationships.
Yeah, I thought that as well. I mean, the book basically is to kind of educate people who haven't thought about
monogamous by default.
Right.
Yeah.
About non-monogamous relationships, but right. really just about everything in that book could apply to monogamous relationships as well.
Absolutely.
It's really good stuff.
Yeah. And I think even if you do have a monogamous relationship or one that's monogamous in practice, you know what I mean?
Like right.
some people are part of a couple that's ostensibly monogamous, but they're open and honest about attractions to other people. Mm-hmm. And they maybe would consider having another relationship if the need arose, but they just don't at the moment or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can apply the style of honesty and openness and communication about absolutely everything and being attentive to your partner's needs mm-hmm. and whether they're being met, even if you're in a monogamous relationship, because jealousy happens in monogamous relationships too, all the time.
No, non-monogamous relationships.
No, it happens in monogamous relationships.
Yeah, but that's common. I thought you were making the point that it happens in non-monogamous as well.
Oh, it happens in every.
Yes.
I think it happens in almost every relationship.
Yes.
And some people, are more jealous than others, but there are monogamous relationships where one partner is jealous because the other partner works all the time.
I was going to say.
Or spends all their time
with their
kids.
Car, yeah.
Or with their car, yeah. So, and I think no matter where it comes from, jealousy has these same causes. It comes out when people's needs are not being met. So the solution for that is to strike at the root and to look at those unmet needs and try to get them addressed, or decide if you can't meet those needs for your partner, or if you don't want to meet those needs for your partner, and
right.
then move on.
Right.
So, okay. I guess
Well, not quite.
No.
I do want to mention one other place that I learned about jealousy. I would say about 2 years ago. Yeah. About 2 years ago was the first time I practiced polyamory.
Mm-hmm.
Although I've thought it was the way I was and probably the way most people are mm-hmm. for like over a decade. And when I did, and the woman who was attracted to me was polyamorous, I said, all right, I'll give it a try since I accept this, idea.
Mm-hmm.
She also had other lovers, and so I became jealous, and mm-hmm. so I wanted to learn how to deal with it. So I looked for, I just Googled, and I came upon a podcast called Polyamory Weekly, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll link to it in the show. But I did a search at the time of all their shows that had the word jealousy. And there were maybe 10 or 15 and maybe 3 to 5 of them were useful to me. So
right.
that's another resource, at least in a polyamorous type of, in a non-monogamous relationship.
Cool, yeah. And the host of that is Cunning Minx, right?
Right.
Yep, cool.
But I do want to mention that the question that was asked, or in the question, it said something like, so I don't know how to talk to her. Can you give me some URLs that I could give to her?
Mm-hmm.
And that probably needs some addressing.
Yeah.
Because that's not communicating.
We're not sure. Yeah, we're not sure if that's what the question asker meant.
Right.
But I think it's really important if you're going to get her needs for connection and for listening and for, being understood met, I think it's really important that you talk to her yourself.
Yeah. I mean,
unless she says like, hey, I'd rather do some reading on this first before we talk about this together, and then we can have a talk.
Right.
I mean, I think it's always best if you kind of help her come to that understanding, because you can interact with her. You can answer her questions.
Yeah, you might mention these and read these with her, or say, here are some things that you could read, but mm-hmm. let's talk first or something.
Yeah, or let's talk after you read them
or
whatever.
But you don't want to just say, oh, you're jealous here, go read this, I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, and expect it to be cured.
Right. That's yeah. your problem, here's some reading.
Yeah.
Enjoy your time in the bathroom.
Yeah, and I don't think it's hard to have these conversations. I know sometimes with people who have jealousy, it can be a little, I guess, intimidating sometimes to talk to them. For instance, I think when you have a partner who has a history of being jealous or who is jealous,
yeah.
it can be intimidating to bring up issues with them that you think might trigger their jealousy,
mm-hmm.
right? But if you think about that, that's just a bad scene, because if you're not bringing up issues that you think might trigger the jealousy, they're just going to get jealous because they'll know that you're hiding something or you're not talking or you'll be keeping secrets from them and eventually it'll come out. So it's always better to just bring it up and talk about it. And I think usually you'll be surprised at how easy it is to bring up those things. And if you feel that you don't have that open dialogue, then, maybe you shouldn't
right.
be together with that person.
I agree, but there's still context and tact. You don't, if the person is
Oh, of course.
If the person
yeah.
is crying to you because she's jealous, that might not be the time to start a logical discussion about it. Maybe you want to soothe and you know, get to a place where you can talk, and then maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, that's not the time to tell them about your new partner.
Right.
No, just kidding.
All right. Well, thank you for the question.
Yeah, and good luck. Let us know how it goes. Yeah. We'd love a follow-up on this. Yeah, we want to know if our advice was helpful at all or if we were just pulling it out of our rear ends. But no, I think, honestly, the non-aggression principle works in every situation that I've seen evidence for. And so, or it works for me as a moral guide.
Yeah.
And so I see it as an only logical thing to apply to relationships as well as how I conduct my behavior in everyday life.
Yep.
So I hope that helps you. And
actually, I have a total tangent comment.
Oh, sure.
You know the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you?
Yep.
I think this is an example where that just might not work. Might not give a good result.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Al is not a swinger per se, but doesn't get jealous or you could say understands.
Or maybe enjoys seeing his partner with other
people. Right, has compersion or realizes that love is infinite or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and can sleep with or can love many people and have sex with them. And she is not. Well, he might then say, well, I don't mind if you sleep with tons of people, so I'm going to.
Right.
And that's where it simply doesn't apply.
Yeah.
it's just not a good result.
Yeah.
Okay, weird tangent.
Well, it's true. And I think that people, even though all people have these kind of universal human needs, someone's need for touch might be really strong, like 90 out of 100 or whatever.
Right.
I'm just assigning an arbitrary number.
Yeah.
And their partner's need for touch might be 20. So mm-hmm. what do? They're just a little bit mismatched on the things that they need.
Yeah.
They both still need them, but one needs them more than the other. So, you know, maybe the person who needs it more gets it met in other ways, or maybe they just feel bad because their need is not met.
Right.
Or maybe their partner, you know, meets it for them, but reluctantly because it's at the expense of other things they could be doing. So
there's probably other options.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But yeah, I think you're right, Mike, to bring it full circle that other people don't necessarily want to be treated exactly as you would want to be treated yourself. So the key is, again, communication, to talk about it, figure it out.
Communication. In all relationships, I'd say.
That was our first slogan on Pork Therapy. So anyway, do you think we're done with the show?
I think we're done. Thank you guys for listening and for the questions and feedback.
We certainly do appreciate having you listen to our show.
We do. And please feel free. Please share us with your friends and lovers and colleagues and family, etc.
100% agree.
All right. Thank you for listening.
Yep. And don't forget to visit our website, porctherapy.com. And if you like our show, give us a couple bucks. It wouldn't hurt, right?
It wouldn't hurt me any.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4.